our business sponsors, just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time of the year for us to talk about Christmas. It's Christmas time. And it is always a joy and a delight that I have for us to talk about who Jesus really is. We're talking about today, that's the subject, that's the issue. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? We live in a world today that from the secular standpoint and from the standpoint of many aberrant denominations, there's a question about who is Jesus. Is he God? Is he part God? Is he all God? Is he part divinity and part humanity? There's a major, major, major battle going on today among so-called denominations and religious organizations and groups, Christian cults as they're called, as to who is Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate Christmas, I believe that we need to get our focus on the Scripture and see what the Scripture says in relationship to the celebration of Christmas. The questions that I have by way of a mini monologue before I get into the depth of the monologue, I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps and I are going to be having dialogue and discussion with an open line for you to call in and ask your questions about who is Jesus Christ. Why do we celebrate Christmas and say it's about Jesus? Who is Jesus? Should Christians really know who Jesus is? Should we look at the Scripture and understand more completely what the Bible says about Jesus? What causes so many believers not to know who Jesus is? Why is it that so many pastors, religious leaders, deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? Robert Morris, a national, internationally known pastor, had the mindset and would preach and teach that Jesus Christ was not deity. That when he left heaven, he laid aside all of his deity, came into this world simply as a man. And he goes on to say in his theological diatribe that when Jesus ascended back into glory, he reassumed his deity. Is that right? Is there a problem with that statement? Does the Bible teach that Jesus is God? If the Bible teaches that Jesus is God, then does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ is sinless? In the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew the 4th chapter, when he was tempted to yield to Satan, was it possible for him to yield? Or was it impossible? What is it about Jesus that is viewed today in such a light, nonchalant fashion that makes it difficult to understand and yet called Christian? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is impossible for a person to be blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, and deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just simply say in advance of our dialogue and discussion today, if Jesus Christ was not 100% God, He could not raise the dead. He would not be able to cause the blind to see, the lame to walk. There would not be one drop of his blood that would be efficacious, that is beneficial for the forgiveness or the covering of sin. So those are the areas we're going to look at and talk about today. Time will not allow us to go into the full depth of what I call the overview of Christology. And that's what we're doing when we talk about Christmas and the celebration of Christmas. And now listen, I'll just tell you in advance, I don't want to hear this diatribe about Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. It could have been March, April, or May, or it's probably August, September, October. I don't care. I could go into that diatribe with you, argue and debate it until Jesus comes again, and it will not resolve the issue because there's so many opinions of that. I don't care about an opinion. I'm talking about who Jesus Christ is and what we can validate in the Scripture. If we celebrate, if we have Christmas designated as the 25th of December, that's when Jesus was born, as far as I'm concerned, and that's what we're going to celebrate. That's how we're going to celebrate it, celebrating it as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just simply say this. As we look at issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." But it's as George Orwell, the secularist, said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And listen, I'm not deifying George Orwell. He was a secularist. He made a lot of good statements. And when he says, the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it, we're talking about today a truth about who Jesus Christ is. And yet we have those that will deny that, and will try to modify and modulate what the Scripture says for their own convenience. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand on the truth book, what the Word of God says, and depend on it, nothing more and nothing less. I'm surprised and saddened that according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their statement is this. May I read it to you? They say each person determines their own version of truth. That's what causes so much irony and consternation and problems, I believe, in our nation today, is the refusal to grasp and to hold on to the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as at one time was the swearing-in words for somebody going into court as a witness on any case. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, John Huss. John Huss says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge us today, as I do each and every day, that that's what we will do. Learn it, live it, love it, tell it, and being able to defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Christmas time. As we celebrate Christmas, I pray that you will celebrate it in the recognition that Christmas is more than just sightseeing, shopping, and singing the Christmas carols, although all of that's good. But it's much more than that. It's much deeper than that. And I believe it's time, as Christians, we get back to the fundamental basics of why we celebrate Christmas. It's not just for having a day off from work or 2 days off from work. Celebration of Christmas is not just a matter of having too much food to eat, as in most cases we do. Celebration of Christmas is not about just getting together with family and friends and food, as some relate it, although all of that is good. As we celebrate Christmas, I believe that it is needful and necessary for us to go back in memory, go back in the scripture, go back and analyze why Christmas is celebrated, what Christmas is all about. Some people say, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus was just a good man, that he was a good teacher. In fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus was God's first creation. The Mormons say that Jesus was one of the heavenly creations by heavenly parents, and that he was the brother of Lucifer. And I could go into great detail of all of the aberrant religions and cults and what they say and what they think and what they preach and what they believe about who Jesus Christ is. But suffice it to say, as we celebrate Christmas, I believe it would be good for us to recognize who Jesus Christ really is. Listen. Someone said, Jesus is either a man, a myth, or he is the Messiah. Now, your choice. Who do you say Jesus is? Listen, let me finalize my elongated monologue by saying this. Jesus Christ, a babe born in the stables, a little over 2,000 years ago. He was the only child in all of world history who caused a king to tremble in fear. When King Herod heard about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, he trembled. A babe whose power, although was not visible at the time, was greater than the king himself. So as we look at the subject today, who is Jesus? We're focusing on Jesus Christ. You know, you've heard the little mantra, Jesus is the reason for the season, and that's exactly correct. And we're talking about the season of Christmas. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Before we open our lines and ask our callers to start calling in, I want Dr. Phelps to take a moment. Dr. Phelps, thank you again for joining me on the broadcast today as we talk about this very wonderful season called Christmas. And I'm calling it, Who is Jesus? Would you take just a moment and tell our listening audience why you believe that it is serious and important for every listener to understand who Jesus is? Why is that so vital?
It's absolutely important for me and for everyone, because the scriptures tell us that if we have the wrong idea or the wrong thinking about the Son of God, that we're in trouble. John 3:36 says, He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Mm-hmm. That's a very important passage of Scripture found in one of the most important places in the Bible that I can think of, John chapter 3.
Yes.
Earlier in the chapter, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, and that means die and go to hell, mm-hmm. but have everlasting life.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, one simple question, then we'll ask our callers to start calling in. Let me couch it this way. If an individual does not believe that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, if an individual does not believe that Jesus is fully divine, is it possible for that same individual then to ask Jesus to save him if he does not believe that he is capable of saving him? And let me do a little parenthetical footnote. If Jesus Christ is not God, and only God can forgive sins. How can a person say, Jesus, forgive me my sins, come to my heart and save me, if he disbelieves in the deity of Christ? Talk about that a moment.
I agree with you. I don't think that's possible. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And when we talk about these things, there are some words that we use, not Bible words, but they're good words, and that's the word deity or the word divine.
Mm-hmm.
Divine means of God or from God, one who is truly God. And whenever we speak then using these words, we're talking about then our reference to deity, to God himself. And so we believe that Jesus is more than just a man. He is the God-man.
Amen. That's right. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning. I hope you're well.
Yes, sir. I was speaking. I think it's 1 John. Say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there was nothing created on this earth, now in this universe, that his Word did not do. Am I right about that?
You're exactly right. In fact, that's not in 1 John. That's in John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. In fact, it's very interesting that you touch on that text, because it talks about in that text that he is the Word that's come into the world. It's the Logos of God, that God coming into the Word, into the world, and it's Jesus Christ is the Word of God. But it's interesting, Kenneth, in that same unit of thought, in the 18th verse, and I'm going to paraphrase, the 18th verse, though, says that the reason that Jesus came was to reveal God to man.
Yes.
Man, human beings, we would never understand who God is had Jesus Christ never come. Had Jesus Christ never come, God would have never been revealed to man that we can know him intimately through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. In fact, I believe I need to just turn to that and take a moment and read what it says, because it is absolutely needful and necessary for us to understand it. Dr. Phelps, read that for us.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, yes, and dwelt among us.
Yes.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Hey, Dr. Phelps, take a moment. Exegete that for just a moment for our listeners. Some may not have heard that unit of thought before, or those verses. And then I'm going to ask Kenneth a question or two.
I believe if we're to know the truth about who Jesus is, we must read the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
The Scriptures give us the answer to all of our questions about who Jesus is.
Yes.
So in John chapter 1, we have his identity.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Word. And I believe that's what John tells us in his epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is the Word. We would rather say he is the living Word.
Yes.
And so the written word, the Bible, tells us about the living Word, Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'll turn to the book of John also, 1 John rather, and I would like to read a couple of verses that we find there. In 1 John, that is in his epistle, God tells us a little bit more about who Jesus is. By the way, before I read that first verse, you see, God makes himself known through the prophets in Old Testament times.
Mm-hmm.
But in the New Testament times, God made himself known in the greater prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So I read in 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Those were words that John wrote because he'd had a personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been near to him.
Yes.
He had even then, you know, been so close that he's handled him,
right,
shook hands with him,
right,
and so forth. And he says, next verse, for the life was manifested, we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So, you see, what we have then in John chapter 1 is the identity of who Jesus is. He's the Word. Jesus is the Word of life. And it goes on to say something about his eternity as well.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, one of the things with Kenneth calling in, Kenneth, let me ask you a question. Based on what we've just talked about, the identity of the Lord Jesus, he is the living Word. We've got the written Word. In your opinion, and you can't, there's not a wrong answer, but from your life and living and responsibility and relationship to Jesus Christ, why is it you think that we have so many people today, even in our churches, that do not know fully who Jesus is, cannot defend the faith explaining who he is or why we should worship him and celebrate his birthday? What is the cause as you see it?
Okay, Dr. Gilbert, I'm going to tell you. I have seen his miracles in my life. He has saved my life so many times. So many times. And I know it was just grace of God and grace of Jesus Christ to watch out for his creation. That's why he came and shed his blood.
Absolutely. That's the gospel. Brother Kenneth, that's the gospel in a nutshell. That's why he came. That's the reason he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And by the way, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it was God's blood that was flowing at Calvary. And it's God's blood is the only blood that is efficacious, beneficial, and powerful enough to cover sins. And that's what Jesus Christ did in his coming to this earth. But Kenneth, I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. I pray that there will be, this will be a special time. A blessing.
I wish you all a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much.
I say it
yes. A blessed Christmas. Absolutely. That's correct. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. I believe Dr. Davis is on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. I pray that you're well and blessed.
Yes, sir. I am so sorry that I ended up not being able to be there like I desired. My daughter is graduating college on today, so I want to say congratulations to my daughter, Stacy Davis, graduating with a master's degree on today. Thank you, thank Amen. You, thank you, thank you, Father, so much. Amen. Thank you for blessing us. Amen.
Amen.
But I want to say, amen, in addition, one of the greatest, I think, portions of Scripture that we can read about who Jesus really is, and I think Dr. Phelps has been reading from that book, but I want to continue in John chapter 8, and the center of the point comes from verse 24. But he spoke about being the light of the world, and he told them in verse number 24, because they didn't believe in him, go back to verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, verse 23, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And in verse number 24, wrap it all up, and I certainly hope that this will help somebody. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And that's a warning to all the rest of the world on today. If you don't believe that he's the Son of God, that he was the virgin-born Son of God, and you accept his finished work out on Calvary's cross, and become blood washed and born again, ye shall die in your sins because you don't believe that he is the Son of God who he claims to be.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, in that text that you just read, and I'm looking at it, it's on the left page, the right column in my Bible, he says, I am he. He is declaring he is the thrice holy God. I am. Go back to Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, when I go and tell them what you said, who should I say sent me? God said, tell them, I am hath sent you. And that's a term that's used for the Lord Jesus Christ in several places in the New Testament. He is the great I am. He is God come in the flesh, the thrice holy God. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for taking a minute, and congratulations, and hug your daughter for us, and let her know that we're thankful for the accomplishment that she has made with God's help and wisdom in her life. Thank you so much.
Amen.
You and your family
thank
have
you
a
so
blessed
much.
Day, and a Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Merry Christmas as well. Thank you. It'll be a pleasure to be able to say that all the rest of this whole month. Thank God.
That's right. Amen. That's right. God bless you. Thank you. Dr. Phelps, as we think on the subject today, the issue, who is Jesus? Let me just take a moment to set the table and ask you a question or two. Jesus Christ, this is what I've called down through the years my little overview narrative of the life of Jesus. He grew up as a carpenter's son. He never went to college. He never got married. He never commanded an army. He never received the applause of man. He never committed sin. He died as a criminal at the age of 33. He changed human history and the human calendar forever. He rose again on the third day. He ascended back into heaven. And listen, he is coming again as the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
Amen.
Having victory over sin, death, and the grave. And the question is, do you know him as Savior and as Lord? Dr. Phelps, take it up from there. Continue our study and our thought about the question, who is Jesus?
As we look again in the Scriptures, that's where we'll find the answer. So I look again in John chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2, we're told that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And so that is a kind of information I like to know about that says the Word, that's Jesus, was God. And I don't look for any greater statement to believe that Jesus truly is God himself. It says, in the beginning was God, and that the Word was God. You see, God the Father, and God the Son are one in existence. Jesus could say in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. In our King James Bible, many of the times that we read the statements of Jesus, and there are many statements using the word or the title I am, the word he at the end of the statement is in italics. And that shows you that we're to think of it in as we are now speaking of it. He is the I am.
The great I am, yes.
And so we have not only his identity, but that he is thought of as being from eternity. And when we talk about eternity, that means looking back. He is God from the very beginning. He didn't have a beginning. Throughout the Scriptures, whenever we talk about God, he is eternal. Everything else had a beginning.
That's right. And by the way, it says, in the beginning, and that goes back to in the beginning of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And in this text in John, in the beginning, he is the Word. That word beginning is archaea. We get our word archaic. So back and back and back and back and back and back some more before time began, Jesus Christ was and always has been. He is the all ever-present, everlasting, eternal I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. If we got callers on the line, hang in there. We'll be right back right after the news.
Let's face the issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine, WATY, Folkston.